Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
I'm going to preach a topic I've never preached before. It's going to be fun, I think. Maybe scary. I don't know. We're going to talk about holy kisses. All right? Holy. Yeah, I love that. Holy kisses. The blessing of holy kisses. And we're going to talk about that today. How many of you have you've ever heard a message on holy kiss? So you'll hear one this morning. Look what it says in Romans 16, verse 16. I got to say that after the first service, there's a lady that went up and she gave me a good kiss on the cheek. It was pretty funny. It's pretty good. Romans 16, verse 16 says, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the Church of Christ sends greetings. There's 22 mention in this chapter of greet. 22 mention. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 20 says, all the brothers and sister here sends you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Are you starting to get afraid a bit right now? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, greet one another with a holy kiss. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 26, greet all God's people with a holy kiss. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 16, greet one another with a kiss of love. Oh, a little different swing here, right? Peace to all of you who are in Christ. So you might be thinking, so is Pastor Claude giving a new value to our church this morning? You might be a little afraid. But it's interesting to see that when Paul is saying this, and when Peter is saying this, it's a command. Actually, if you look in the original, it's not kind of, hey, if you want, greet. It's kind of an order that he gives to the church. It's pretty interesting to see that. If you look at the culture of that time, the Greco-Roman culture, a kiss on the cheek, on the forehead, was common among friends and family members. It was a sign of respect, affection, and kinship. In the Jewish culture, it was the same. It was a gesture of peace, shalom, and brotherhood. In the Christian context, it goes a little further, especially when you read the apostolic fathers that really encourages the holy kiss. And the holy kiss in the early church became a symbol of Christian unity, love, and mutual respect. It was more than just a cultural thing. It was a visible expression that you were part of a new family, new relationship formed by faith in Christ. And one of the words that we have to notice and say, it's called to be a holy or a sacred kiss. It means set apart, pure, sincere. It was not just a kiss, but a greeting that reflected holiness and a love share between believers. There was no deceit, no lust involved. And if you look at the meaning of the word kiss in the Greek, is the word philema. It derives from the word filio that talks about brotherly love. You know the word agape that talks about sacrificial love, and the word filio that talks about brotherly love. So it talks about an expression of brotherly love, brotherly sister, where you show affection. And so really what it means is it's a type of love, a type of expression of affection to show to a friend or sister and a brother. It's a mark of affection and relationship. So let's talk about holy kisses this morning. I had the chance to go preach in Quebec in June, and me and Josue is my son, he oversees the youth here. So we did this trip to go, and I was invited to preach in a conference. And so I was preparing Josue, and I was saying to Josue, when we're going to go over there, realize that people will want to kiss you. Because that's the culture of the church. And it's kind of funny. You go there, and the reality is you don't know what to expect. Should I start on the left, the right? Is it one cheek, two cheek, three cheeks? I don't know, right? And so it's really a step of faith. You don't want to get your glasses caught. You don't want to hit each other's nose. It's really awkward, especially I'm left-handed, right? And being a left-handed, it's like I confuse right-handed when it comes to kisses kisses on the cheek. So it's kind of confusing. I don't know if you come from a culture like that, or maybe you come from a Russian culture. I hear that there's some of that. But the Latino also do that, where there's kissing on the cheeks. And but when it comes to this thought, and you'll see that I'm not saying this is a new way that we will do in GMC, but it's a reality in some culture. I know for me, when I was younger, and my wife could witness to that, what it was New Year's Eve, like the countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hide. That's what you wanted to do, because oh, they're looking for you, and they want to kiss your cheeks, and you just want to, you're a kid, you just want to be not hugged and squeezed by aunt, whatever, right? And so that was kind of the culture. And just to give you a story, I think it's kind of funny, is that when I was in Bible college in Montreal, my roommate was from, never met before, we were placed six guys in the same room, and I learned to build a relationship with one of the guys. And so in the summer of my first summer, after my first year of school, I decided to go to his house, about 6-7 ways, hour of driving. And so I go to his house, I'm excited to see his family, and I knock on the door and I see Mrs. Saint-Amour. Saint-Amour means in English, holy love. That's her last name. Mrs. Holy Love. Holy Love, what a name. Eh? And so Mrs. Holy Love sees me and she says, "Claude, Claude," because she heard about me. She grabs me by the cheeks and she smacks the three right on the kisser. Mwah, mwah, mwah. I was totally shocked. And then him, my roommate, being the youngest in the family and having a family of 9 or 12, it was a big family. He had a few sisters. And there was two sisters, by the way, that were in the house, and they were older, and they saw me, "Claude, Claude." And then he took me by the cheek, and they only gave me one kiss, though. Mwah, and the next one, mwah. I was baffled. The next time I went to visit them, I was well prepared. I was well prepared. Kind of funny, right? And so, so when you look at these verses that I read to you, why this emphasis? Why did Paul and Peter talk about the holy kiss? Why is the Holy Spirit bringing forth this ordinance of holy kiss? If you look at John chapter 13, verse 36-ish, we see Jesus talking to his disciples, and he washes the feet of his disciples, and he says to them, "Do the same. Do the same that I've done to you." Really, he's not talking about washing one another's feet, but he really talks about having humility and servanthood. And there's some churches that do the washing of the feet, and there's nothing wrong. But the thought is, what is behind that gesture? And that behind the washing of the feet, the gesture is humility and servanthood. Do the same. So when you look at this kissing on the cheek or the holy kiss, it symbolizes stuff. And that's what I'd like to unpack this morning. I believe it symbolizes Christian warmth and unity. I think it really does. I think Paul and Peter, they emphasize the holy kiss because he wanted the church to be warm, to be inviting, and to express affection toward one another. And we do this in our family. I don't know what you do at home, but when my kids enter the house, when the doorbell rings, we're there, we're going to the house, and the first thing we do is we give a hug. And now with the grandkids, she runs, and we just want to kiss her, right? And that's one of our culture. This is how we do stuff. But we live in a culture where we're very disconnected, and I think that the culture of holy kiss is really relevant today. Not that we are called to give holy kisses, but if some circles do that, it's fine. But it's to see the need for us to show affection and value. One of the things that giving kiss does, it slows you down. If you're in a hurry to find your seat, and you got 10 people in front of you that you got to kiss on both cheeks, it slows you down. And one of the challenge I believe that we have today is that we don't see people. Like, we hear this expression, take time to smell the roses or the flowers. But I think that we should also take time to look at people in their eyes, in the white of their eyes. Like, I'm blessed right now. I've got the best seat in the house. I'm looking at your face when I see you in the foyer, and I think it's the best time for me in all this. It's to see you and to see how beautiful you are and how special you are. Like, one of the things I like to do, and I've developed that in my own life, is that I'm awful to remember names, but I remember faces. So when I pray, I say, God, bring me faces to pray for, and then I see your face pop up and I pray for you. But what I'm trying to say is that church is way more than a business when it comes to doing stuff and fulfilling our goals and mission and all that. It's about relationships. Like, we often hear that the services is the huddle and the mission field is outside. And it's true that this is not the mission, this is the huddle. But the huddle is not just to have strategies to live better, but it's to look at each other in the huddle and say, man, it's good to see you. You look amazing. Hey, and it's to smile together. It's to enjoy each other's company. It's to value the people around us. And I think this is what the apostle had in mind. Value the people that are around you. And realize that they are unique and special and fun to be with, and that you are called to celebrate that. And I think it's so important to do that. It's to slow down and look at the people's eyes. I remember many years ago, I was shaking hands systematically. And then as I'm shaking a hand of someone, this man holds my hand longer. And he looks at me because I didn't even look at his eyes. I was just shaking hands, right? And that was a great teaching moment for me to take the time and look at the faces and look at the eyes. And I think that when it comes to our culture, we don't do that very well. I think we miss out on relationship. It's like when my dad used to go hunting. We would go hunting. He would jump in his truck and he would go 80 kilometers an hour trying to see a moose somewhere. He didn't see any mooses. And I remember just when he saw one, he had buck fever when he saw it on the main road, that you're not supposed to shoot on the main road a moose. It's like you got to slow down. If you don't slow down, you don't see people. But it's important for us, what I want to share to you, it's important to take the time to look at people and to realize that what we have in life is relationships, and we want to see them. I like what it says in John chapter 4, verse 35. You know the saying, 4 months between the planting and the harvest. I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're already white for harvest. What Jesus is saying is that between the 4 months, the harvest is ready. Lift up your eyes and look. And I think that's what we are called to do. And I think the holy kiss makes us think of that. Okay, the person in front of me is valuable. And you stop for a moment. You have a certain connection, right? So we don't want to be cold, right? We don't want to be a people that is cold. We don't want to be a people that is snobbish, right? Where you only have your clique, where you're not inviting. We don't want to be a people that is distant or unapproachable or untouchable. So I think it's important to see that when you start to study about the holy kiss, you realize there's a place for that. I look at Jesus, right? When he let the little children come to him, where the disciples are pushing the little children aside, he says, no. Then he takes the kids and he gives a lesson based on having the kids in his arms. I look at the story of Jesus with Zacchaeus, this thief, a small dude that wants to see Jesus, and he's up the tree, right? Must have been funny to see this guy up a tree. And I look at Jesus' sense of humor. He's walking, there's dust, people have questions, there's a crowd around him. And then he looks up, this guy there in a tree. You're that desperate to see me, you're in this tree. He says, hey, I want to have supper with you. And then the religious leader, you know the story, they were complaining, he sits with a tax collector, blah, 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 blah. But this is who Jesus is. Jesus was personal. Jesus was touchable. Jesus saw people. Jesus' mission was people, right? And I think it's important for us to be like that and to see the value of people and realize that how awesome they are and how much they're beautiful. They were made in God's image. So I believe the holy kissing, it expressed Christian warmth and unity. Maybe you were raised in a context where, that was how you showed affection. But do more of it. I don't know. I don't know what to do with that. But what I want you to realize is that your affection matters. Like you look at. I was looking at stats of how many people, when it comes to touch therapy, and how many people are disconnected, and we look at the effect of after COVID, where we're even more rigid, and we need to show affection, and we need to receive affection. Would you agree? Yeah, we all need that, right? Second thing we want to see is a holy kiss is an expression of grace and equality. What it says is that when you are kissing someone on the cheek, what you're saying is, we're here because of God's grace. Everybody's equal. And the reason why we're here this morning, it's not because of what we've done. It's only because of His grace. And it brings us all to the same level. So you might be prosperous or not. You might be successful or not. You might be educated or not. It doesn't matter anymore. You're all together and you give a kiss on the cheek saying that we're brothers and we're sisters. And that's amazing, right? There's no sense of inferiority, right? And there's no sense of superiority, because when we remove Christ from the equation, there's nothing. And so we meet together and we're able to celebrate each other, not judging, not pointing the finger, but realize that if it would not be because of grace, we would not be here, none of us. And so the holy kiss reminds us this message of grace and also equality. So we want to see that in our lives. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of His death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other has put to death. Like it talks about the Jews and the Gentiles. Jesus comes and we're one. And that's what the cross does. It brings us to the same playing field. And we want to see that, and we want to walk in this way. Like it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, it says, there's no longer Jew, Gentile, slave or free, male or female, you're all one in Christ Jesus. And I think that giving this holy kiss is an image of that, where we are comfortable to be with others, that we don't feel like second best, or that we don't feel better than others, because wherever we are today, it's simply because of God's grace. Another meaning or a picture of a holy kiss, I think it talks about closeness. It illustrates trust and vulnerability. This is why Jesus said to Judah, "You betray me with a kiss," because kiss talks about being close. And so when he was betrayed by a kiss, he was going against the culture or what it meant for a kiss, because a kiss represents vulnerability and trust. And there's such a need for that in our lives, right? It's letting people be close to you. Letting people be close to you. And it's not easy, right? Because we don't really want people to know us. I remember it would be probably about 17 years ago in GMC, we were talking about marriage and wholeness in marriage. And we had small groups and in the church, like we had, well, it was a time of, not small groups, it was a time of questions. And this guy raises his hand, he says, you know, I struggle with pornography. And it was quiet in the room, like it was not something that was ever done before to talk about that topic. But what he did, this person opened the door and expressed his humanity and his struggle. And I know some people were thinking, oh, that's not a topic that we should bring to church. The question is, where do you bring that topic? Where do you experience wholeness? And later on, we brought the Conquer series, and we wanted to have guys to come and experience freedom. And I think that's what the church is there for, not to judge, not to look down, not to be fake or phony, but be real. And I think that's kind of what we find here when it comes to holy kiss. It's where you become vulnerable. And you become open to others. And I know that some of us, we've been hurt in the past. When you opened up, when you experienced betrayal, Or when someone, you said something in private and then it was talked about, and it hurts. But that doesn't mean that you're called to, because of that, you're not called to close your heart or to harden your heart. If you ruminate things for 20 years, it's not a healthy thing. You got to move on. We need people in our lives. I look at the story of Moses when the Israelites were fighting against the Amalekites. And he's there, he's the leader, and then he's ordered by the Lord to keep his hands up. But he gets tired. And you know the story, right? He gets tired. And then you got Aaron and Ur that are there holding his arms as he sit down. When his arms are up, they're winning. When his arms are down, the Israelites are losing. But he needed them. Like, he needed to admit, hey, I can't do it. I need your help. You know, there's this place of vulnerability that is necessary in our lives. And as we grow together, not giving a picture that we have everything in control, but that we have stuff that we carry and that we need assistance. We need God in our lives. We also need people to walk with us, right? And vulnerability, it's not an easy thing, and it's something that we grow in and we see the need of it. I've got verses I want to read to you. It's not going to be in the back. I added this text yesterday. I didn't have the chance to put it on the PowerPoint. But it's a text that you're familiar with. But I just want to talk about, it talks about the power of vulnerability. It's the Apostle Paul. He's talking about himself. He's talking about a thorn in the flesh he has. And he says, three times I plead with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Look what he says. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast. Paul responds, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insult, hardship, persecution, and difficulties. Look what he says. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. What he's saying here, it's not like, oh, I'm walking in sin, it's all fine and dandy. It's not the topic. It's not about sin. But we find him being open and vulnerable to the Corinthians. And I look at this and I say, God, in my weakness, I am strong. You know when that happened? Is that I walk with people and I'm real and true. And I believe this picture of holy kiss, of getting closer, talks about that. And I think Paul and Peter was saying, be a church that is able to share, not judge, not condemn, not step on, but walk with and encourage and be there for, right? Because you know as much as me, I might be on the mountaintop today, but it's a question of time I'll be in the valley. Because that's the reality of life. Who's going to be there holding my arms, right? So I need people in my life, but if I don't let people in, how do they know? And sometimes we expect people to guess. And it's your job, my job, to be vulnerable and say, hey, I need help. Can you walk with me? I'm not saying that you go in the foyer and you talk to everybody about your problems. I'm talking about you get people around you that care for you and just share your heart and let them walk with you. So the holy kiss, I believe it's a picture of closeness. It illustrates trust and vulnerability. My last point here is greet each other with a holy kiss. It's an invitation to be intentional. What Paul is saying is you kiss someone. What Paul and Peter are saying is that reach out, extend love and care, or extend genuine affection. It's to walk across the room. Right? Well, you say, Pastor, I'm not like that. Well, God calls you to be like that. This is why Paul is saying, he commands them with a holy kiss. You go and greet people. You go and love on people. And I think it's an important thing for us to understand. Like a shake of hand, a hi, a genuine interest, and to listen, to ask questions, to try to know the person. We can all do that. We can all compliment someone. I was giving the example in the first service of John Thiessen. He's not here. He was in the first service. And last week after the service, I was talking with John Thiessen, and he was saying, Claude, like I didn't preach, Brenton did. And he couldn't say to me, oh, you did a good message, or you shared, you had a good message. He said, hey, thank you for raising up the next generation. It's awesome to see the next generation, younger people preach like Brenton did. Like, he found a way to encourage me. Like, you know, he found a way to lift me up. Like, when I'm with John Thiessen, I feel like $1 million. I feel like I'm the best pastor ever. I feel I'm amazing, right? And life is hard enough, right? And I know that I'm not that amazing, but it's awesome to be with people that values you, that sees who you are, and not, they see the best out of you, even though you know that you have holes and you have issues. And there's, like, I think, and it's not in my notes, but sometimes I think the church is the only army that shoots their wounded. You know? And we look, we pick, nitpick at this and that, and we don't see how God sees others. And it's to compliment you. Now, I'm not talking about being fake or, but it's to value the person in front of you. Taking the time to look at people in the eyes, you know, and say, man, amazing. It's like, I want to hear about you. Where are you in life? And I know that it can't only happen here, but I think it's a way to approach to others. And I think that the holy kiss kind of brings us to that. I need to know that God wants to work through me. Like, don't hold blessings, share them. You know, and there's so many different ways to do that with technology today, that you can pray for people, send them a word of encouragement, build each other up. Right? And that was the intent of the holy kiss. Look what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It says, it's an amazing text. It says, don't pretend to love each other, so don't be fake. Really love them. Hate what is wrong, so it doesn't mean you compromise the truth, okay? Hold tightly to what is good, but look what it says in verse 10. Love each other with genuine affection. Like, when you hear genuine affection, he's talking to the church. He's not talking to people use this verse for marriages. Okay? But it's not about marriages. You want to see that in marriages for sure. Duh. You want to see that in marriages. But he's talking about us. He's talking about the church. Love each other with genuine affection. When affection, it's seen, right? You know when you receive affection or not, right? And you know when you're giving affection or not. It just has happened by chance. No, you give affection. You give value. You bless. You encourage. You focus. You listen to the point that you don't even know what you're going to say because you're caught up with what the person is saying, right? It says here in this text, with genuine affection, look what it says after, and takes delight in honoring each other. It becomes a habit of you that you're excited to raise people up, right? Like, we live in a world of competition, right? If you're a business owner, you know what I'm talking about. There's competition, right? I remember hearing a politician talk many years ago in Newfoundland, and she was talking to fishermen, and there was a lot of stuff happening in the Maritimes. But I remember this phrase she was saying, you know, Canada is like a pail of lobster. She was saying, it's kind of funny, you put one lobster in the pail, it comes out, and then you put many lobsters in, and no one comes out because all the lobsters are dragging each one down. And she says, that's the picture of Canada. And it shocks me, but is that the picture of the church? Right? I'm supposed to pump you up. Like, I'm supposed to rejoice over you. And when you succeed and you're doing well, I should be the one saying, he is amazing. And I'm called to boast about you to other people. Totally the other way of talking in bad, right? And look what it says here in the NLT that I thought it was so good. And you take delight into it. It's so much fun, right? And it is. You think about it. To lift up someone to someone else sounds fun, right? And if the person is there, you say, oh, the person, well, not, well, we say, you know what we say here? It's dangerous because it's proudful. Like, yeah, for sure, someone would take it with pride. But many times what it does, it confirms, it encourages, it motivates the other person to go further, you know? And I think that's what we're called to do, we're called to be. Like, we won't bring this culture of holy kisses, but we can bring a culture of what it really means, right? Valuing each other, seeing each other in the eyes, realizing that it's about relationships. And that's what Paul and Peter had in mind. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not following the Lord. You're distant with God. You matter to Him. Like, that's why Jesus came. You matter to Him. You matter so much to Him. He wants to be with you. I look at when God created Adam. He breathed in his nostril. I don't know how close he was to Him. But God wants to be personal. Always wanted to be personal. We made religion and distance and laws and regulations. But the heart of God was always wanting to be with us. This is why Abraham was called a friend of God. Think about that. It's pretty amazing. So if God is not personal to you, you can make Him personal today. I invite everybody to close your eyes. Are you here this morning and that's you? God is not personal. And you know because it registers to your heart. You just know. And that's the witness of the Holy Spirit. Is that you? I invite you to raise your hand if that's you. Yes, thank you. Someone else? Hey, thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, you see these hands and there might be more in their hearts that you're not personal. And I thank you that the cross is the bridge that makes us be able to be loved by you and receive you and know you on a personal level. Father, we ask you to forgive our sins. We ask you to wash us clean. We say no, Lord, to our old ways of life. And we say yes to you. And we invite you to come in our lives. We invite you to be real in us, Lord. We want you to be personal. We don't want you to be distant when your desire is to be personal. I don't want to say no to you. I say yes to you this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you got hurt and you're afraid of opening up. I invite you to say, God, no, help me to open up. I need to open up. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't see your value. You think you don't have nothing to offer. It's a lie from hell that is telling you that what you do and who you are is not important. The voice that says it's not important that you cross the room, someone else will. No, God calls you to walk across the room. God calls you to have eye contact. God calls you to pray. Don't underestimate the call that God has placed on you. Amen. You know, we're having the prayer summit this Tuesday. And I was sitting there last week and I was my wife and I and two teenagers. And this teenager, like 15 years old, I thought it was a little older, started to pray for me. Laid hand on me, started to pray for me. It was unreal. I prayed for him, and he says, I'm going to be back next week. And then I looked around, and I saw people pray for one another. It was so amazing. That's what community is. We have a level of community here. But I invite you to come to the prayer summit and realize that we are called to have even a deeper community. I was talking with a couple that were here for the first time, and they said, we didn't know it was like that. Yeah, it's not threatening. It's us having deeper community where we pray for each other. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.